I really struggled with this message because I didn't want anybody to get the wrong idea. So I'm just going to tell you right up front, I've got a disclaimer. The title of the sermon is, It's Not About Money. And that really is, it's not about money. I'm going to talk about giving. But I'll just tell you right up front, the church is doing fine. We're not in a financial strait. I'm not poking and prodding you guys so that you'll give. I don't need your money. And quite honestly, God doesn't need your money. It's not about money. It's about our hearts. But if He's got our hearts, then He has control of our money. He's got control of our time. He's got control of everything. And so I've been the pastor for basically exactly a year now, and I've not spoken about giving because I don't want to make you think that I'm needing money or expecting you to, to give. But I want you to understand the principles of giving, because if you don't give, you will suffer. God's kingdom will be just fine. But we receive a blessing when we give and when we're obedient. And it's really about our heart. It's really about being obedient. And so I'm going to share some things this morning, and I want you to kind of keep that in mind. Even though we're talking about money, I'm not after your money. Okay? If you want to give an offering, that's fine. We don't make a big deal about money. We don't pass an offering plate. We don't, you want to give, the box is back there, and God's faithful, we're doing fine. So I'm through with my disclaimer. So here we go. Mark 12. Jesus sat opposite the treasury, and He saw how the people put money into the treasury. And many were rich put in. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which make a quadrant. So He called His disciples to Himself and said to them, "Assuredly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had, her whole livelihood." So I'm going to make three basic points. And, some give little or nothing. Some give the basic minimum. And some give everything. And, again, as we talk about this, just keep telling yourself, we're talking about all of life, not just your finances, okay? That's the way I'm presenting it to you, but I'm presenting it to you so that you'll understand it goes much, much deeper than that. So everybody was supposed to give. I've been reading in Genesis and Exodus, and so they're getting ready to, I'm at the point now where, God gave them the Ten Commandments, and He's talking to them about building the tabernacle and all these different things. And He said, "I want everybody to give." And He said, also, He said, every time you do a census, I want all the people who are 20 years and above to give. Every man, every person, a half a shekel. And that was not a huge amount, but it was a commitment. And He made this point, and I just want to kind of start with this, because He said, every man, rich or poor, the rich are not going to give more than a half a shekel. The poor are going to give a half a shekel at least. I mean, everybody's going to give the same. And so when you're looking at your relationship with God, who you are, and how we're supposed to respond to Him, whether we give or don't give, or how much we give or whatever, we're all equal in the sense that God wants all of our heart. He wants all of our love, all of our affection. Doesn't matter if you're rich, doesn't matter if you're poor. We give the same. We all are required to give the same. Now, some people think because of their position in life, they're supposed to do more. Some people think because of their position in life, they can't do as much. And that's just in your mind. You know, God looks at all of us, and all He wants is our heart. And our heart should dictate how we respond to the truth of God's Word and what God is saying to each one of us individually. So if we just keep an open mind and we think about our giving of ourselves, our giving of our time, giving of our talents, giving of our finances, all of those are just a form of worship. Just like we come, and for an hour and a half or so, we say we're going to worship the Lord. And so what we're really doing is we're spending some time with Him, and we're focusing our attentions towards Him, and we're telling Him how good He is and how much we love Him and appreciate what He's done in our lives. And that is called worship, because we are telling Him of His worth to us. And we begin to express that, and it takes on a characteristic in every part of our life then. Every day, you get up in the morning, and instead of getting out of the bed and saying, oh, man, another crummy day, I got to go to my crummy job, I got to, you know, blah, blah, blah. If you get up and you say, this is the day God's made, this is the day, it's a brand new day, His mercies are new this morning, I can be different today. Today is the day I can walk in victory. Today is the day I'm going to walk in peace and joy and love. You can do that. You can also say, okay, I'm going to have a good day today. And I'm going to be generous. Today I'm going to be kind to people. I'm going to open doors for people. I'm going to not kick the dog today. I'm going to say kind words instead of saying, you know, rude things. I'm going to help a stranger. Maybe I'll give a homeless guy a little gift, you know. Today is a day you can do something different. And you can worship God all day long in all those different ways, because all those things are part of how we worship. You understand, loving each other is a huge part of what worship is about. That's how we express who we are. Jesus said, if you love everybody and you love one another, that's how everybody will know that you're my disciples. And if we don't love one another, then they're going to look at us and say, well, they're no different than the rest of the world. There's nothing changed or special about them. So our worship needs to be part of all of our life, not just on Sunday morning for an hour and a half, not just singing, and not just a little prayer before a meal, and not our giving. It's all of that. All of it. And God wants our hearts. He doesn't just want a piece of our heart. He wants all of our heart. So when we talk about this little widow lady and what Jesus commented on, He said she gave more than all of them. Now, there were rich people that were given lots of money, and there were poor people that were given a lot less. But there were some that didn't give anything at all. You know, the story doesn't tell it, but you got to assume there were people walking by all the time, you know. But some walked over to the treasury and they put in their offering. Now, the rich people and the ones that were the Pharisees, they probably waved it around for a while. Look what I got here. Look what I'm fixing to put in. You know, they made a big show of it. And, you know, we're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to give our gifts so that nobody sees. And so some people didn't give anything at all. And I'm glad to say that in our little fellowship here, you guys are good givers. I mean, you give of your time, you give of your money, you give and give and give. And so I'm not trying to poke and prod at you. I'm just trying to help you understand the truth of God's Word. So there's some people who didn't give at all. Now, Jesus told this story in Luke 12. He said, He spoke a parable to them, and He said, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, well, I'll do this. I'll pull down my barns and build bigger and greater barns, and there I'll be able to store all my crops and my goods. And then I'll say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will all these things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So Some people are all about gathering it up for themselves. And so some people don't give. They don't give to the Lord because they're too busy gathering up for themselves. They don't understand the principle that if you give to the Lord, He will provide and take care of you, and that is our obligation. We give, and He gives. He gives, and we give. It's just a process that's supposed to go naturally. It shouldn't be something where someone's up here having to beg you and poke you and prod you. You ought to want to give. Don't you want to say thank you? I mean, when someone does something nice for you, don't you want to say thank you? I mean, that's a natural thing. And this is just one of the ways we can say thank you to God for all the things that He's done for us. You wouldn't have anything to give if it weren't for the Lord blessing you in the first place. Proverbs says, there is one who scatters yet increases more, and there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. So, if you happen to be one of those people that doesn't believe in giving, I guess I would just ask you, how's that working out for you? Because generally speaking, if you don't give to the Lord, it's pretty tough financially in this life. And things happen. It seems like it just there's always something going on, some kind of problem, something breaking. Well, I'm not saying if you give that you won't ever have a problem. But what I'm saying is that God is your provider. And when you are faithful with what He has provided you, then it opens the window, it opens up the door so that even more can begin to flow towards you. I read in Exodus about the manna, and I thought that was really interesting. I've read the story numerous times, but something stuck out a little different to me this time than before. And so God, He said, I'm going to cause it to rain bread from heaven for you. And He said, I'm doing this to test you to see if you will obey me. See if you'll follow my law. It wasn't really, they were just saying, we're hungry. Would you bring us out here to let us starve to death? Give us something to eat. And God said, okay, I'm going to give you something to eat. But He said, I'm going to test you also to see if you will obey me, to see if you'll follow my word. So our giving, it's just a form of God placing a little opportunity, a test, if you will, before us and say, look, I've blessed you. I've given you the ability to make a living. I've given you the ability to earn money or to do things. The test is, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to just gather it all up for yourself, or are you going to be generous? And not just generous to the Lord, but generous to other people. We have an opportunity to give to one another. We have an opportunity to give to strangers. We have an opportunity to give to charitable organizations that are helping people that are desperate. The poor are among us, and they'll always be among us. God even told the children of Israel, He said, this is the way it's going to be. He said, when you go into the land that I've given you to inherit, He said, it's going to be a land that's good. It's going to be flowing with milk and honey. It's going to be all kinds of good stuff. And you're going to go in and you're going to find vineyards that are already planted and producing. You're going to find houses. And you're going to find all kinds of things that are already built, because I'm going to drive out the people from before you so that you can inherit this. And you're going to be prospering and really doing well. But He said, you're always going to have the poor among you. And He said, open your hands wide to the poor. If you don't open your hands wide to the poor, it's like saying, God, I don't really need you. I don't need what you've done in me. And I don't believe what you're saying to me. I'm just going to do my own thing. We need to open our hands wide to the poor. Now, that means something totally different to each one of us. And I'm not telling you any guidelines about it other than just in your heart. This all goes back to your heart. God wants to have control of your heart. And if He wants you to give a dollar, $10, or $100, or $1,000, or $1,000,000, that's between you and the Lord. And if God has blessed you in such a way that you can give big, and that's what God leads you to do, then give. If you're not that blessed, then give according to the way he's blessed you. But everybody's supposed to be giving. Everybody's supposed to be participating. All right, so in Matthew, Jesus tells this story. And so, you know, some people didn't really give. Jesus was looking at the treasury and said some people out of their abundance are giving, and other people out of their lack are giving. Some people didn't give at all. Some people gave a little bit. There's all, you know, there's people that'll give, you know, a little here, a little there. They don't. It's not really a big part of their life, but every now and then they'll do it. You know, every now and then they just give something. Jesus told this story in Matthew 25. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country. He called his own servants and he delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. So he didn't just give them money at random. I mean, he gave it to them according to their own ability. The guy who was more of a go-getter, he gave him 5. The guy that was, he was good, but not quite that good, he gave him 2. And there was another guy that he was a faithful employee or whatever, and so he gave him 1. So he went away, and the one who had the 5 talents went out and traded with him. He made 5 more talents. The one who had 2 gained 2 more also. But the one who received 1 went and dug in the ground, and he hid the money. After a long time, the Lord came back and settled accounts with him. So the one that he gave 5 talents to said, look, Lord, I got 5 more for you. And the Lord said, well done, good and faithful servant. And the one that had 2 said, Lord, I was, you know, I worked real hard with this and I made 2 more. And he said, well done, good and faithful servant. And he said, you were faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. When he came to the guy that had the 1 talent, he said, well, you know, you're a hard businessman. I knew you drive a hard bargain and you expect big returns, and I was afraid. And so I didn't want to lose what you gave me, and so I just buried it. So here it is, your 1 talent. And the Lord was not happy. And he said, you wicked, lazy slob. Well, that's my version. You should have at least put it in the bank. I could have got some interest on it. And you just did nothing. So some give a little. Some don't give anything at all. But God wants all of us to participate in the plan. It's a plan that's, ever since we've had scripture that lays out how God has worked, giving has always been part of that. Giving to God and giving to one another. He set up guidelines and told the patriarchs how to take care of their children. It was an everyday rule. Everybody understood. The firstborn get twice as much as everybody else. I mean, it was the way that God set it up. I mean, there was a plan in God's mind about how people were supposed to give, how they were supposed to honor Him with their finances and with their wealth, because He was the one who was giving them their wealth in the first place. And they understood that. So they understood, this is the way I need to be responsible with what God has given me. I will give it to my family. It will be an inheritance farm, and it will be for their benefit. And it's not so you can control everything, you know, like pulling strings, like if you obey me and you do right, now I'm going to give you this. You know, that's, God wants us to be generous and give, and He wants us to take care of our families, and He wants us to be responsible for what He's given us. But in this story, when Jesus talked about the 5 talents, the 2, and the 1, He made the point, and it's a good point, that He gave to each person according to their own ability, and the way they responded was the way He responded to them. He took the 1 talent away from the guy who didn't do anything with it, and He gave it to the guy with 10 talents. And some of the people in the room are probably thinking, well, that's not fair. But Jesus said, to him who has will be given more, and to him who has little, even what he has will be taken away. So if you live with a poverty mentality and you go around all the time thinking, you know, I'm broke, I got problems, it's never going to be any different, probably the way it's going to be for you. But if you begin to think, God is blessing me, and so I'm going to be generous. And it can be on a small scale. Biblically, we're told to pay our tithe. That's 10%. Now, if you're rich, 10% is a lot of money, but it's still just 10%. If you're not so rich, 10% may be a small amount of money, but it's still 10%. And God's plan was that everybody was supposed to be the same, all equal. Everybody is under the same obligation to be generous and be kind, help take care of the poor, open our hands wide to the poor, and to return to the Lord some of what He's blessed us with. And that's the principle that's in the Scripture all the way through. I'm telling you, it's not about your money. It's about God controlling your heart. He wants to control our hearts. He wants to be able to tell us to do something, and we'll say yes. Just like he gave him the manna. He said, look, I'm going to provide for you. You're not going to have to work for it. It's just going to be there every day. You're going to be able just to count on it. It's faithful. Every day. You can walk out there in the morning. There it is. And all you need to do is just gather it up. Doesn't get any easier than that. But he said, if you try to keep it for more than one day, it's going to grow worms and it's going to stink and get rotten. And so the people, man, they were all excited about it. They went out there and they gathered it up. And some of those knuckleheads, you know, they tried to hide some back, you know, and it grew worms and stunk. And then God said, same thing. Now, on the Sabbath, I don't want you working or doing anything on the Sabbath. So on the day before the Sabbath, I'm going to give you twice as much, gather twice as much as you normally do. And it won't get worms and stink because it'll be according to my plan. And so everything was hunky-dory, but some of them still went out to try to gather on the Sabbath, even though it didn't come down on the Sabbath. God said, I'm not going to spend it on the Sabbath. He did that to test them. So the thing is, all of our financial and physical and everything in life, all that we are, it's all because of God's provision and love and mercy and care in our lives. If you believe that, then you ought to respond and say, yes, Lord, I believe, and I'm going to obey you. I'm going to do what you've told me to do. And in every area of my life, I'm going to do the things that you tell me to do because you have given all this to me, and you've just asked me to be a steward over it. And so our giving is a way of us saying, I know that everything that I have is from you, and so I'm going to give some of it back to you and your kingdom, and I'm going to open my hands wide to the poor. I'm going to do the thing that you've told me to do with what you've given me. And then he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things, so now I can make you ruler over more. So if you're not faithful in a little bit, you know, God's not going to just make you faithful in a bunch. You know what happens to people who win the lottery? Almost every one of them end up broke and divorced and all kinds of horrors in their life. It's because they don't know how to deal with all that new wealth and stuff. They don't know how to do it. They just go crazy. Well, God doesn't want to do that to us. So if we prove ourselves faithful in little things, then he begins to promote us and give us more and more things that we can prove ourselves faithful in. It's a process. So when we start in our relationship with the Lord, he doesn't just throw you out there to be a preacher. You got to start by witnessing to your friends and witnessing to your family. And you do other things. And as you prove yourself faithful in little things, then God begins to bring you along, give you more and bigger and more important and more significant things to do. And really, the most significant thing for any of us, it's not about your position. It's about being obedient. Because you could be a little old lady or a little old man that just sits in a chair and you don't appear to have any impact on anybody, and yet if you're faithful and obedient to the Lord, that could mean more than someone that's like Billy Graham that's, you know, reached thousands and thousands of people with the gospel, because it's all about our obedience. And when we stand before the Lord, it's not going to be, look at what I did. It's going to be, well done, good and faithful servant, or maybe not so much. Now, I don't think there's going to be any sorrow in heaven. So I don't think if we don't have a great life here and we make it to heaven and we're standing before the Lord, I don't think we're going to be saying, oh, no, I feel so bad. But wouldn't it be nice to be able to stand before the Lord and say, man, I gave it all. I didn't hold anything back. I gave freely just like you gave to me. That's what I would like to be able to feel like, that when my life is over, it'd be nice if people would say, that guy was a good guy. He loved God and he obeyed the Lord. He was faithful. He did what he was supposed to do. He was a good husband, a good father, a good grandfather. I guess it'd be nice to hear I was a good pastor, but I really don't care about that near as much as I care about the other things. Because God looks at my heart, and it's not about what I accomplish. It's about who I am. And so he wants all of us to be who we're supposed to be. And then what we become flows out of who we are. Okay, so some people give the minimum. Now, I'm not condemning that at all. 10% is what God said. I want you to pay the tithe. The tithe belongs to me, 10%. I personally think that's kind of a guideline. That ought to be really kind of the minimum. In Exodus 35:5, he's telling the people to give, and he said, take from among you an offering to the Lord. Whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it as an offering to the Lord, gold and silver and bronze, purple and scarlet thread, fine linen, goat's hair, ram skins dyed and red, and badger skins and acacia wood, oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil, for the sweet incense, onyx stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate. The point is, God was saying, I want everybody to participate in giving. If you don't have gold, maybe you can give some silver. If you don't have silver, maybe you can give some bronze. If you don't have some bronze, maybe you can give, you know, one of those pieces of fur out there, or one of those other things. This list was pretty extensive, and it was all about things that were needed in the building of the tabernacle and the operation of the daily priestly services. So God was saying, look, I want everybody to participate in giving. Whoever is of a willing heart. So Jesus talked about the Pharisees in Matthew 23. He said, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you're a bunch of hypocrites. For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and you've neglected the weightier matters of the law, which are justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. You're like a bunch of blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. You ever inhale a gnat? That's not too good. I hate to think about it, inhaling a camel, you know. Those humps would go down kind of hard. So Jesus is saying, look, you guys, you missed the whole point. You know, you make a big show of paying the tithe, but he said, your heart's full of all kinds of rottenness. And all you care about is receiving recognition from men. A bunch of hypocrites. 1 Timothy 6 says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, and pierced themselves through with many arrows. Godliness with contentment is great gain. You came in with nothing, and you're going out with nothing. So all this gathering up that we tend to want to do, you're not going to take it with you. And leaving it to your family is all fine and good, but they're not going to take it with them either. So at some point, you kind of got to come to grips with the fact that this is all about us being good stewards. God wants us to be good stewards. And a lot of people misquote this one phrase here, that the love of money is the root of all evil. It's not money. It's the love of money. That's why it's important that God has our hearts, because where our treasure is where our heart's going to be. And so if you're loving money, then you're not going to turn loose of it for God or anybody else. I mean, you're going to be hanging on to it, and you're going to be afraid you're going to lose it. But when you realize that it all is a gift from God, then you can relax about it. You can be free about it. It's not mine anyway. It all belongs to the Lord. If it all belongs to the Lord, then I can be generous. Because if I give some of God's money away, He'll just give me some more. And it's all supposed to be a free-flowing operation. The body of Christ ought to be, it ought to be just flowing. There ought to never be a lack, anyone in the body of Christ. Because the rest of us ought to be helping those who have a need. That's the way it's meant to flow, meant to work. Just like all the other gifts and operations in the ministry, everybody participates, everybody does their part, and the ministry happens because everybody is doing their part and we function as a whole. Another couple of verses in 1 Timothy 6 says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. So Paul's telling Timothy, you need to make sure everybody understands where the wealth comes from and how to be responsible with it. If people are greedy and they get proud about what they've done, they're going to get messed up. And God wants us to stay humble, and He wants us to be willing to share freely. Now, some gave everything. The widow gave it all. Jesus pointed that out. He said out of her lack, she gave everything that she had, basically, even though it was just a couple of little coins that were worth 1/5 of 1 cent each. Two of them were equal to about 3/8 of 1 cent. I mean, you know, that's a pretty small offering. And yet, because Jesus was recognizing that from her heart she was giving everything that she had, it is not about the money. Because you could give a $1 million gift, and your heart could still be far from God, and you could still not be giving what God wanted you to give, because He wanted your heart. And on the other side of that, you can give a small gift, but you'd be fully obedient. And God would look at you and say, well done. You did exactly what I asked you to do. I asked you to give that person $1, and you gave them $1. I asked you to give that person $20, and you gave them $20. I asked you to give that person a ride, or help that person open a door for them. It's about our heart. God wants us to be obedient. He wants us to be obedient from our heart, not out of obligation. Proverbs 10, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and He adds no sorrow with it. 11:25, the generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. The generous soul will be made rich. If you're a greedy pig, though, I mean, your whole life, you're just going to be, I have pigs, and they are greedy. I mean, the expression, eat like a pig, it takes on a whole new meaning when you actually watch them eat. I mean, they will spill the food just trying to push each other out of the way to get to it. And it's really aggravating watching them. And put three containers out for three pigs, and they all go to one and just, it's a mess anyway. So, but if that's the way you choose to live, that's kind of the way your life is going to be. It's going to be a mess, and it's going to be all messed up because you're greedy. And instead of recognizing that everything that you have is from the Lord, and He wants us to be stewards of that, and we can be generous, and we can give. We don't have to just try to control everything all the time. Living that way is miserable. They asked a rich guy one time, how much money does it take to be happy? And his answer was, just a little bit more. You know, you can't be happy when you're trying to gather all the time for me, gather for me. You're not going to be happy. You're going to be frustrated. You're going to be afraid. People who have lots of money, a lot of them, they're unhappy because they're always worried about, I'm going to lose my money. Even though they've got all the money, they're so afraid they're going to lose it. You can't get ahead if your attitude is wrong. I mean, you're always going to feel out of whack if your heart is out of whack. God wants us to have a heart of giving. If we will give out of our heart, then all the other stuff will take care of itself. So Jesus told a story about this rich young ruler. He came to him, and he was a wealthy guy. He said, Lord, what can I do to be saved? And he said, well, just follow the commandments. He said, well, which one? He said, all of them. You don't steal and kill and commit adultery. And he named them, and the guy said, I've done all that stuff in my youth. And he said, okay, well, there's one thing that you lack. Why don't you sell everything that you have, give it to the poor, and you'll have great treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. And the guy went away sad because he was very rich. And Jesus made the point. He said, it's very hard for rich people to enter heaven because they are not willing to give. I really don't think that Jesus wanted this guy to literally sell everything and give his whole estate away. I think he just wanted the guy to be willing from his heart to do that, if that's really what God wanted. I think if he had said, okay, Lord, I'll sell it tomorrow and give it away. I think the Lord said, well, you know, hold up a minute there. Just, you know, how about you just start by giving a portion of it? I don't know anything about who gives or doesn't. I've never looked at the books. I don't know, and I don't want to know. But if you happen to be someone that doesn't give, doesn't pay tithes because you think you can't, or maybe you don't think there's a reason to, maybe you don't believe in that, maybe you don't think it applies to you, whatever. Whatever your reasoning is, if you don't give, but you're thinking, well, I'd like to, but I don't think I can give 10%, because I can't afford that, then I just want to throw this out for you. Start with something small that you can be faithful with. If it's just 1%, just give. Just be faithful. Say, Lord, you've blessed me. I have enough to live. I mean, we're all alive, right? None of us are starving to death. We're all doing pretty good. So just make a commitment. Say, Lord, I'm going to begin to give. I'm going to begin to give. I'm going to be faithful. And as you do that, just watch and see. God will begin to bless you. And then maybe you can go from whatever you agreed to something a little more. As your faith grows and as you see that God is faithful, you can do more. And again, I don't care about your money. I don't need your money. I don't, you know, I'm just saying that if you give, it'll be good for you. Because God wants your heart. And when you give from your heart, then God can do something in your heart that will make you happy. It'll make you fulfilled. And it'll make you satisfied in life. Instead of being a greedy pig, you'll be a generous, happy person. A loving person. Someone that is willing to give freely. Jesus gave freely to us, didn't he? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, God didn't have to do that. Matter of fact, when God was calling the children of Israel, his own people, he said, I'm not choosing you because you're so cool, or because you're so big, or because you're so smart, or because you're so wealthy, or because you're famous, or because of any of those things, or because you're so good and righteous and holy. He said, I'm choosing you because I love you. And that's the same thing that God says to us right now. He said, I chose you. I sent my Son to die for you because I love you. And because I love you, I've given everything for you. And all I want in return is for you to love me back. And if you love me back, then you'll love me with your heart, you'll love me with your body, you'll love me with your mouth, your ears, your eyes, your pocketbook, you'll love me with your time. Every part of your life will love me. That's what God wants. He wants us to love him. And it is not about our money. But our money, it's like a thermometer, you know, that measures. If you're not being generous, then something's not set right in the thermostat in your heart. Because your heart ought to be generous. And if you're being generous with your money, then that lets you know that, you know, I'm not being greedy. My heart is being generous. But then the other side of that is you can give a bunch of stuff trying to prove how generous you are and how good your heart is. So you have to be careful. Everything's got to be balanced. But God is interested in our heart. So, Eddie, you guys come back. We're gonna worship a few minutes, and then we're going to close. As they're coming, I'm going to read a couple more scriptures for you. Romans 8:32 says that he who did not spare his own Son but delivered him up for us all, how shall we not with him also freely give us all things? 1 Corinthians 2:12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. So God has freely given stuff to us, and we ought to freely give back to him and to others. That's our responsibility. We really are just stewards. I mean, we're just overseers of what God has given us. So everything that we have in this life is a gift from God. The very breath that we breathe, the ability to speak, the ability to think, the ability to earn wealth, the ability to raise children, the ability to do all the things that we do that we take for granted every day, all of that is a gift from God. And our responsibility is just to oversee that and be faithful and be responsible back to the Lord and be kind and generous to one another. So God is He's interested in our hearts. And all that I'm talking about this morning is that your heart would be generous and faithful to the Lord. And that's part of that is our giving. It's a part of our lives. As a matter of fact, it's a big part of our lives. Without money, you can't get much in life, can you? So that really does kind of set the tone for your heart. If you can't give your money to the Lord, then there's probably a lot of other things you aren't giving the Lord as well. Anyway, so Lord, I just thank you for your word. I thank you that you are speaking to each one of us, and you want each one of us to understand that you have given everything for us, and all you ask is that we give back to you and to others freely like we have received. It is a free gift, and we want to freely give back. So Lord, help each one of us to determine our hearts to be more faithful and generous to you and to others. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and worship.
Come and make all things new. So we want watch and we wait and we hope and we pray you will come and make all things new. And we won't be afraid as we long for the day you come and make all things new. All things new. All things new.
That is the promise that God will come and make all things new in our hearts. I just was told that there was an active shooting in White Settlement, so we're going to spend a moment here and just pray for these folks. Lord, we just ask that you go right now and all the people who have been injured or perhaps worse, Lord, we just ask that you be with them, be with their families, that you would intervene, Lord, that you would cause your name to receive glory and honor from this, Lord, that you would touch these families, bring peace and life and health to them, Lord, that you protect them, that you cause all this to be resolved, Lord, in a way that would bring glory and honor to you, Lord. And I pray for our nation that we would rise up and be a people that would live and honor you, Lord, and that all the people that are acting crazy and doing these horrible things, Lord, that you'd begin to just bring conviction to their hearts and that you'd change their hearts, Lord, and that we would be ever vigilant to watch and to protect ourselves in the spiritual world as well as the physical world. Lord, we know that the enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy. But you promised life more abundantly. And so, Lord, be with this church, be with these families and individuals, Lord. Have your way. Heal and deliver in Jesus' name. As we sing this next song, if you have a need, you like special prayer, just feel free to come down. Someone will meet you at the altar, and we're going to worship the Lord a little more.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Through the wind and the rain, He has never changed, Lord Jesus. Through the wind and the rain, You will never change. You're still on the throne. You're still on the throne. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. He's still on the throne. He's still on the throne.
If you happen to be here this morning, you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, then this whole thing about giving your heart is right at the very center of everything. That's all He wants, is for you to give your heart to Him. So if you don't know the Lord, you don't have to leave here like that today. You can make Him Lord of your life right now, today. If that's you, then I'd like for you to just raise your hand. I'll pray with you and talk with you. All right, so, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that you are faithful, Lord, and we can count on you to provide for us, just like the children of Israel count on you to provide manna every day. Lord, you pour out blessings on us and provide for us daily. You load us up with benefits daily. Lord, help us to be good stewards of that. Help us to be good stewards of that, Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you and lift up His countenance on you and grant you His perfect peace. Go and be blessed. Have a great week. And there's some snacks out there. Visit a little bit. Enjoy.